Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, this is Neil Haley, and I'm really, really excited about another Real Talk with a Real Housewife. And I'm the co-host of the show, and I tell you right now, we're going to have a really interesting dialogue and a lot of fun. So I want to welcome the program from the Real Housewives of D.C. and much, much more, Mary Ammons. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing great, Neil. I'm having a great week, great holiday week here. I am so excited about our next guest. I've been waiting with bated breath to get her on our show, and she's a busy mom like I am, and a businesswoman, and an actress, and she's also a former Real Housewife of New York. She was on 4 seasons and also transitioned into some spinoffs. She was on Bethany's show and then went over to VH1 with her husband Simon Van Campen for couples therapy, which I only caught a couple of episodes, which was very entertaining. Anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce you to Alex McCord. Alex, how are you?
I am great. Hello to both of you. I'm so glad we made this work out.
I know. I've been so excited. And just for our listeners, their information, I have had the privilege of getting to know Alex and Simon. They coached Rich and I when we first signed on to the show very intently, helped us figure out contracts and gave us some really beneficial do's and don'ts about how to manage putting your family on reality television. So we've become pretty close friends, and I would say that Alex and Simon are definitely my favorite fellow housewives couple.
Oh,
for sure, that have become good friends.
Thank you.
And I just have always watched you on and off the show handle yourself so well, and you're just a very smart, savvy businesswoman, and have done such a wonderful job in using the show for good purpose and keeping it classy most of the time. when you aren't coached into not getting along with certain people, you know how it works.
Oh boy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wink, wink, wink. Anyway, let me know what are your thoughts so far about since you've left the show, how you feel like the show has been faring without you, and what your thoughts are about how the Real Housewives of New York is doing.
Well, I tell you what, as far as New York goes, what I do these days is I listen when current housewives want to cry on my shoulder.
I know how that is.
And I stay so far away from filming, partially because I don't want to be a part of it, but also, I mean, now I've switched hats, and one of the things among many that I do is I report on and comment on all the Housewives franchises for places like Celeb Buzz and Rumor Fix, all of these gossip websites. I do video broadcasts. And so I really don't want to, be accused of having inside information. But
right.
I am the one to get a text from Zonia or Ramona or Aviva or whoever saying, oh, my God, you won't believe what happened. Like, ah, no, I feel your pain. Sorry, better you than me.
Well, Alex,
and
Mary, it's very interesting how, all your friends are so fantastic, and I hear about it. Alex is kind of, I became a closet Housewives fan thanks to my wife when watching Jersey, but she was a huge, huge Bethany fan. That's her show. That was one that I always had to watch as well. Now, Alex, I guess it helps in a lot of ways to be one of the first to, like, coach Mary to understand the whole situation about reality television, what to do, not to do, and to not let yourself kind of get really angry and upset that leads to drama, because it will come back to you later on in a lot of ways. And you, I'm sure, coached Mary in those situations, said, you're representing a brand. You make sure you don't make that brand look in the wrong way, so you can utilize it as a great opportunity. But however, if you kind of present yourself in the wrong manner, it could hurt you later on, couldn't it?
Yeah, it can. And I tell you what, if I, if I had one thing to do over again, the first two seasons of New York, I barely even knew I was on a reality show because I was working full-time for Victoria's Secret, 50, 60 hours a week, trying to, you know, work hard and get promoted. Plus, I had a one-year-old and a three-year-old. Plus, I was filming a reality TV show on the evenings and weekends. And you can only do so much. And I think, you know, now that I've had a little time to step back and put my entire experience in perspective, I realized that I did two things wrong to begin with. Number one, I rejected all the cast members up front. I sort of refused to film with them for the first few weeks of season one. And by doing that, I painted myself as the outsider, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I remember when we first watched the show, we thought, wait a minute, why are we the outsiders? And we're like, because you refused to film with them all.
And what was the reason? What was the reason that you boycotted? Was it because you know them and you didn't want to be mixed up with them? Or what was your reasoning?
You know what? It was a little bit of meeting them and thinking, oh, man, I don't want to be friends with them. And it was also I have so much to do. Just tell me where I need to be and tell me what I have to do in order to keep this going, and I'll just do the minimum. I would counsel anybody who's going on a reality show now to get to know everybody as soon as you possibly can and to really jump in there. And it's funny because in season one of Housewives, although we ran around in the same circles and there were pictures of us at the same parties, I didn't actually know Ramona. And I met her like the second to last week of filming. And
oh, wow.
I thought, yeah, because out of everybody, she and I are the closest now still. And I thought, man, if I had met her first, this could have gone a whole different way.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate to that, Alex, because I would say the same thing. I think with DC, we were pretty tentative. I would say, though, that we were a little bit more us against Mikkel. Where the four of us really enjoyed one another and got along pretty well, which I think our producers were kind of concerned about because then they were like, well, where's the drama? Where's the interest? Where's, you know,
exactly.
What are we going to do about this, you know, making this an interesting show? And then, right. You know, and there were some times where we refused to work with the Spahis because they were just, you know, causing all
crazy
problems. Crazy, yes, crazy. And also, you know, just costing production a lot of money because they were canceling and just, you know, we were sort of raising up our arms and saying, you know, how can we, this is like a team. We have to work as a team. And yes, we have to bring the drama and all of that. But so I totally relate to what you're saying about that. And then when you see yourself and you start interacting after you start seeing episodes of yourself, then that's where you sort of do some self-evaluation and find out what you need to do to really stay engaged and current and involved in it without getting sucked into it, you know.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's the same, whether it's Housewives or anything else. When Simon and I filmed Couple Therapy, there were five couples total doing a 3-week 24/7 retreat with six psychiatrists. And, you know, there were four couples who really did want to go get therapy. And then there was one couple who were there to turn cartwheels and put on the show and make trouble for everybody else.
Because
just one couple?
Because
just one?
Because sometimes when you cause controversy, Alex, which I do on my education talk show all the time with my education cohorts that have been still in the business, and I really stir the drink, it causes a lot of issues, but it does create a lot of buzz, Alex, and that's the one thing you have to ignore. You were the outsider, but you probably were more talked about because you were the outsider, and is that great for your brand later on? But for right then and there, you're getting great PR. So people like New Jersey, and I don't want you to say anything more about New Jersey because I don't want you to get in trouble. Real Housewives of New Jersey or Married to Medicine or certain shows like that where the most controversial thing happens and it's the biggest buzz. Later on, when you're trying to do business with people and other people, they're looking at you like, what are you doing? So the major buzz then will disappear, right, Alex?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It might be good for ratings, and it might be good to keep you on the show, but you have to consider, you know, always, do you want to get airtime or do you want to look bad? Do you want to look good? But there is, when time passes, a certain element of all press is good press, and people don't necessarily remember why they know your name. But, you know, for example, my husband, Simon Van Kempen, now has a really great social media business, and a lot of what he does is reputation doctoring, because he had his own reputation ripped apart on Twitter and Facebook because of Housewives. He is able to go to businesses, you know, hotels, restaurants, retail apps, and stuff like that, and show them how to do damage control when they get bad press.
Wow. So he really has transitioned his own experience into something positive that's helpful and and is, you know, a good, legitimate, needed business. Because that is definitely needed. I mean, especially with the current, you know, how almost every single show these days is a reality show. And, you know, and most of them are full of drama and controversy. So that's brilliant. I applaud him for that. Good job, Simon. And is he going to cut any more singles? Any more dance party music from him?
the boys would love it if he would. At the moment, most of the stuff that he's doing is actually behind the scenes. It's funny, you know, he's using his public persona to do work behind the scenes for other companies.
Oh, wow.
And I think he appreciates that. I mean, one of the things, it's funny, there was a New York Times article, about a month ago, talking about how in this economy, everybody has to invent their own jobs and people don't stay at the same job all their lives.
You're speaking, you're preaching to the choir there, Alex, and for Mary. Mary and I talk about that all the time. We create, who would have thought an education show's talking to a housewife? You know, that's the funny thing of how things change.
Yeah, well, and that's it. So we have both created industries for ourselves where we both work from home. And listen, you know, I'll go to the studio and tape something for CNN or go on TMZ via Skype or things like that. And that is all part of my business as a talking head and a writer and a social media person. You know, you have to take what you're given and make something grow with it. And what do you do with that? Okay, I am a public person and everybody knows who I am and my children and where I live. And, you know, we still get people knocking on our door because they've seen our house on the show. What do you do with that? You know, you have to take it and say, okay, so let me not try to hide, because there is no hiding. The horse is out of the barn. And let me channel it into something else. So what do you like to do? Well, personally, I like to write and I like to cook. So I write for, you know, 15 different blogs and websites and publications. And I started a kitchen line because I love food and cooking. And I just try and make a business out of giving people what they want to see.
And that's such
right. And it's good. So, yeah. I was going to say, one of the things that I was determined to do in using this exposure was I didn't want to do like a lot of the other housewives do, is just start making things up that don't really make sense or fit into my image or my character or my interests even.
Right.
You know, and I'll use Ramona as an example. I remember seeing her when she was first formulating her skincare line, and I remember giggling about the fact that she said she made some really funny comments in one of her pickup interviews about how she just loves skincare, so she's going to create a skincare line. And I was like, that's genius, you know? She loves skincare. It's interesting to her. It makes sense. So she's going to use her exposure to do that. And I was like, I am going to do what really is going to be something that's going to be sort of an obvious thing that's going to evolve through my personality, through, you know, people watching me in my home, seeing how I operate, you know, just all these things where it's going to evolve and start to make sense. And I still have been a little bit struggling with that because we weren't picked up for a second season. And, you know, that's really where you can launch yourself after your first season, when you have the time to, you know, get your ducks in a row and really use the show to showcase what you're doing. So we sort of had a disadvantage in order to get some things started. But anyway, you've written a book. Have you written more than one book?
We have Little Kids, Big City. That is our book that is out now. And I am actually writing another book about life post-Housewives, but that is not out yet. In the meantime, what I'm writing right now is I am the fashion correspondent for a website called Zulia.com that gets 10 million visitors a month. And it's basically like the fashion police, but online.
Yeah, I have been following you, Alex, and you're doing a great job, by the way, on that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I tell you what, all you have to do is keep your eyes open because the world gives you so much to work with.
Oh, yes.
Okay, when we get back, Alex and Mary, we're going to go more into things. And Alex, Mary knows you so well. I'm kind of following along, trying to follow up with some of the questions. Really interesting so far. I think that our listeners out there want to really, truly know about when the dirt happens. How do you shield yourself from these things, especially being the outsider in New York and your relationships with other housewives? So I would like to go in that direction, and I'm sure Mary has some questions as well. You're listening to Real Talk with the Real Housewife with your host, Mary Ammons, and myself, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Real Talk with the Real Housewife, and it's not me. It's Mary Ammons, or people would laugh and say, who is this? No, but I'm Neil Haley, the Total Tutor, and I'm talking a really interesting conversation with Mary and Alex, and we're learning so much about the Real Housewives of New York and, I guess, reality experience. And what I've learned is, specifically, when you become somebody, a celebrity, you have to really go after that brand and make sure that you're living your brand and understanding your brand so that you can branch off into many different things. And I really liked what Alex had to say about, in this economy, you have to reinvent yourself and come up with goofy things. Well, I've done that in many different ways in my career after having to being laid off as a teacher, what to do, and I've really changed a lot of things I'm doing. So, Alex, now what I've talked to a lot of housewives about is specifically once you become a celebrity, how life changes. How do you kind of shield a lot of the criticism or the bloggers out there or the Facebookers or the Twitter to make sure that you don't feel so offended once the show airs and the tweets come out and the Facebook, to really kind of shield yourself away from all that noise that does happen on these reality shows?
Well, the thing is that you can't control what other people say or think about you. And it really is, you know, everything that every human being has ever experienced in junior high and high school times a million. And, you know, I go back to something that I said to journalists in our first season. I mean, if somebody calls you an umbrella, does that mean that you are one? No, it doesn't. You have to just let it go. You know, it's unfortunate that some people feel that tearing others down makes them feel better, but unfortunately that's part of the dark side of human nature. Social media makes it that much more accessible. I mean, you know, back in the old days, Tom Cruise didn't know that everybody thought he was crazy, but nowadays people can just tweet to him. If he has a Twitter, I'm not even sure if he does, but you know what I mean. There's a level of accessibility in 2013 that there never ever was before. But I don't think that people hate on celebrities more than they used to. It's just, it's more invisible, and you just have to let it roll off your back. I mean, one of the things that was a little jarring for me is prior to everything that was covered on the show, I was an actor for 10 years. I quit acting about a year and a half before doing Housewives. And back when I was an actor, I always would hide on the red carpet. I hardly ever got my picture taken. I was really afraid of the fame and celebrity part of it. And, you know, I didn't become an A-list actor. And that possibly was because I wasn't selling myself enough because I was afraid of fame. And then fast forward a few years and suddenly everyone and their cat knows who I am, but it's not for my acting career, which would have been at least a little bit more legitimate, but it's because of a reality show that I always swore I'd never do. And you think, okay, I have, you know, through my own actions and through the actions of others, I have been thrown up in the air and landed all over everyone, and you can't undo that. You can't unsee that. Here you are. So now what? And you just have to pick yourself up and ignore the haters and just put one foot in front of the other.
One of the things that I was going to comment in connection with what you're saying is, my first thought is how you guys came under some pretty serious attacks. I mean, personally, just as a couple, and you guys have survived and have, I think, have taught the public a lot about, I think the public definitely relates to you and understands you, and you've shared, you know, your parenting styles, and you've made yourself vulnerable. You've, you know, you've taken on the people that are bashing you in a way that I think is effective and with style and grace, both you and Simon. You've protected your family pretty much overall, and you've just been very smart in how you've used this whole exposure to build something that's going to be sustainable for your family. And it's, I think you along with a couple of other housewives who are now former housewives have done a great job of transitioning out and maintaining your image and being able to build yourself and become what we call legitimate business people. And now, you know, a part of fame. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity that we now have to do good in the world and to promote goodness. And, you know, one of the things that I share an interest with Alex and Simon is marriage equality.
Yep.
The three of us walked together in last year's Pride Parade in New York City, which was a blast. And it was so funny because, you know, I hadn't been on TV in a year and a half at that time. And you guys are like, you know, the most famous housewife couple of New York. And we were in New York, so we were in your stomping ground. And I'm like holding my rainbow flag. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, that's Mary. Oh, that's Mary. And it was like, oh, wow, cool, they're friends. But you guys are iconic, especially in the gay community. And you guys are doing so much good to bring awareness.
Quality,
and I thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, I mean, you know, there's so much to celebrate now, particularly with DOMA and Prop 8 in California. And yes. It's just, I mean, until everyone is equal, no one is. Really is a civil rights issue. You know, there, what really made me happy was the same day that DOMA was struck down, there was a deportation case in New York City involving married gay men where the proceedings were halted, and the guy is not being deported now because of that being overturned. And, you know, that is a step in the right direction, and there's so much more work to do. And you're right, you know, using, once you're out there because of reality TV, you know, you want to use your powers for good, not evil. And
right.
Charity work and getting behind political causes is a great way to try and help other people.
Yeah, I mean, you're the impact, and you don't even really understand until you're in it, the impact that you do have with your notoriety and how you can really influence people for good and encourage them to get involved and behind their own issues, you know?
Well, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely, Mary and Alex. Alex, are there other organizations you're involved with to help raise money or bring awareness that you and your husband?
We do a lot of work with Housing Works. And that is an organization that provides housing to people who are afflicted with HIV and AIDS. We also have done work with the American Heart Association and the American Cancer Society. We also work with the Alzheimer's Foundation. And, you know, every single one of these causes, there's a reason why we're involved. When it comes to marriage equality, we have family members who are gay. You know, we have lost family members to heart disease and heart attack, to cancer and Alzheimer's. So we, you know, it's again what Mary was saying before, whether it is a business that you start or a foundation you support, there always has to be a personal connection. You know, you don't go out and save the whales or something if you don't have a connection to that. Not that I don't want to save whales, of course, but you know what I mean.
No, it has to make sense, and it has to be part of your part of, you know, it just has to evolve, and people will definitely respond much better if they feel like it's an authentic reason behind, you know, what you're behind. even in business, you know, if this business is authentic. And that was my whole point. And when I wanted to create something from this, it was going to be authentic, because if it's authentic, the people are going to want it. People are going to want to understand and follow you, because your reasons behind promoting it are true.
And you, right.
So your new line of kitchen products is right in line with your passion for cooking at home and all you do at home. You're a super
mom. Oh, I don't know about super mom.
You are. I've watched you in action. The way you handle your boys is great. I mean, they were all with us at the parade last year, and, you know, they were tired. We walked, what, like how
2 miles?
Yeah, 2 or 3 miles,
oh,
yes.
Wow.
I mean, there was very little complaining going on. There was little moments, but overall it was a joy to be around you guys. And
oh,
a joy to know you as a family. And
likewise.
I'm so thrilled with what you're doing and how you've really parlayed this opportunity into some positive. And I'm excited I'm hopefully going to see you next week, hopefully.
Yes.
We'll get together. And
love
dinner
it.
Or something. Have a glass of wine or two.
Oh, my. Oh, my. What I was
and
gonna...
I feel like, Neil, when I was thinking about having Alex on and I was looking at her bio and I was reading all that she's done and what she probably hopes to do, I was like, we're going to just tip the iceberg with Alex. We're going to just get to know her just a little bit, and then we won't have her back.
Oh, we definitely will.
Expand on some more thoughts. On her experience and tell us more about what she's doing
Exactly.
I would be happy to.
Absolutely, yeah. Alex. And the latest projects, I guess, website to find out more information on you. We can find out about all your latest projects going on.
The best place to do it is to follow me on Twitter at McCordAlex. And if you're interested in that kitchen line that we were talking about, you can look me up on Amazon. It is all available on Amazon.com.
Well, Mary, again, I'm so impressed with your friends, and I'm looking forward to the next weeks. And when I asked you to do the show, I said this is going to be perfect, because it's a situation where, as the producer of the show and also kind of the filler, you're awesome. And when we have real talk, like we're having a conversation, like we're having a cup of coffee, Alex, or a beer, or one of the Bravo stars said, it's like when we talk, it's like we're an old college roommate or something. It's a lot of fun having these conversations. So I appreciate you coming on, Alex, and Mary, another great guest. Really?
Sure. Well, thank you, Neil.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net, and the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. And I'm really excited about my guest today. He's doing great things for the community, and we're here to really promote that and provide awareness for his foundation. And he, former star for Pitt and then also Liberty, went on to play in the NFL. I want to welcome the program, and he still plays, and now he plays for the Oakland Raiders, Rashad Jennings. Rashad, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, fantastic. And I appreciate you taking the time, your busy schedule, training, getting ready for the season. I'm sure you're ready for training camp, aren't you?
Yeah, man. It's approaching quickly. It's right around the corner. So, yeah, I'm down here training in Miami, getting ready.
It's a year-round thing, isn't it, Rashad? Even though when it's off-season, it's really never off-season for you, is it?
No, there's no such thing as off season. It's just called the outer season. You really can't take time off. You always have guys that's across the league trying to get better, trying to take your position, and then you have a big ground to pick new players from the NCAA. So you always have to be on your A game. So the off season, you work on maintenance. You work on your game. You work on building your craft. You watch film, acupuncture, chiropractor. You take some downtime, but there isn't really an off season.
Okay, so tell us specifically how you got involved in football. Like when you started, were you just a natural when you were a kid growing up with football?
Actually, no. I'm blessed, and I have two older brothers who played football before me. I was the accident baby. They're 10 to 13 years older than me. They both played football at the collegiate level. And both played pro for a little bit, but I was the short, fat, dorky kid with glasses and asthma. And you know, I really wasn't your stellar athlete as a young kid, but you know, I wanted to play running back. It's something that inspired me. And long story short, man, I had to turn a lot of things around along the way.
So very interesting when you said about the short, fat kid with asthma. So were you bullied at all in school? It sounds like with, you know, just being different than your brothers who are these natural athletes and they were a lot older than you.
I think I was too much of a, looking back, I was too much of a comic relief for people to bully me. I got along with everybody. You know, I kind of kept to myself and always laughed. So, no, I definitely wasn't bullied at all.
So it was more about the situation that you were just an awkward child, and who would have thought you're going to be a professional athlete from where you were going, and then your brothers with that pedigree of playing in college and in the pros, you really had people to look up to, but I'm sure that your family's like, I don't know, Rashad, this might not be what you might not be able to do what they're going to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't something that was pushed on me or pressured at all. You know, my mom didn't want me to play. She hates watching her children get hit, so she suggested that I do something else. It never was any pressure.
So school might have been was an important thing to you then, right? You said growing up at being a child with asthma and different things, and you were a comic relief. Was academics important for you in school?
Academics was it is important, but it wasn't important to me as a kid. You know, I really have a very unique story, man, along with being the chubby kid and, you know, not amounting up to the Jenner's name in the household. I also had a .6 GPA average at a point in my life. And it wasn't that I was a bad kid or anything. I truly didn't understand the point of school, and I didn't take it serious. And, you know, I turned a lot of things around. And, you know, I'm really humbled that I have people in my life that love me and help me realize the truth of the matter. And that's leading into, you know, why I started the foundation and why I want to give back. Because I know there's another kid somewhere that's just like me.
Exactly. So that's a very interesting story. So academics, you're a comedian, academics. So when did you decide, you know what, I can play football. I'm going to try to play football. Did people push you towards it? Or were you, did you decide, I'm just going to try?
No, I kept playing. I never was, you know, good enough to start. I never was good enough to get on the field. I rode the bench my whole high school career, peewee, besides the last game of my 11th grade year at a high school called Jefferson Forest High School. I'm third-string running back. I knew, me and my buddy, we knew we never was going to play, so I used to come on the sideline, and we used to have, like, little sodas. But we'd bring some Sprites and little Snicker bars because we knew we never was going to play. That's how bad it was.
Oh, my.
And, and our starting running back got hurt. He put in another guy. He got hurt. They put in a linebacker running back. He got hurt, so they had to put me in. First play, 30-yard touchdown. And then the same thing on defense. On defense, end got hurt. Another linebacker got hurt. They had to throw me in. First play. Sack, fumble, scoop, score. So I total of 14 plays. I scored 4 touchdowns, 2 on offense, 2 on defense. And there was a scout there that was there to watch the starting running back. And he came up to me after the game. He was like, "Yo, Rashad, I couldn't help but to notice you. We came to watch Quincy Freeman, but, you know, you kind of stole the show," shook my hand. And the first thing he asked me, he said, "What are your grades like?" And I laughed. I told my sister, "I have a .6 GPA." And he said, "You got some talent. Turn things around."
Wow. So that was an amazing situation where you're sitting the bench. And this is where I'm going to listen to kids out there listening to this interview and say, guess what? Just your story is amazing. To say a professional athlete, an NFL star, sat the bench in 11th grade in high school. It's a never give up story in a lot of ways, Rashad, that maybe if we can continue to build your career and you're really, really successful in the NFL, you're definitely going to have a story for a book and maybe a movie talking about sitting the bench in 11th grade. Because there's not a lot of NFL players that could say in high school they weren't really had that much playing time, right?
Right. It's truly not.
And it's something that's like, wow. So that's something when you can talk to kids, especially when you're talking athletics, and say, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on your dreams. Because one thing happens, someone gets injured, and wow, things change. So you have the recruits come. You know now they're interested in your senior year. Did you start your senior year?
No, I ended up transferring schools. I went to a private school to be away, to have a fresh start. None of the coaches knew me. And I got to start all over, man. And I academically, my grades skyrocketed. I was excelling in the weight room. I'm excelling on the field. I'm excelling off the field. And I was in a brand new environment, fresh air. And I really took advantage of it. And saying that, too. You know, I want people, you know, especially kids, to know that I wasn't the guy that was just on the bench and never worked hard. I worked extremely hard in practice. I was the guy that came before and after, always asking coaches. I was always working. And one of the quotes that really stuck with me was, when opportunity presents itself, it's too late to prepare for it. So I really took that notion that, you know, I'm always the starter, no matter what's going on. So when I get that call, I never skip a beat.
So you were working hard, and yet you just weren't getting your break. Senior year finishes up. Then the scholarships start coming. Were they lining up for you, Rashad, to go to play in the NCAAs, or was it a situation where you couldn't pick and choose? There was just some offers.
It was a situation where I transferred to a small private school, Lynchburg Christian Academy in Virginia, and excelled, broke a lot of records, you know, had a successful career, won the team at that time. But in high school, we didn't get a lot of recognition. So I went to camps. And every camp I went to the coaches after the camp, for example, I went to Pittsburgh University's camp. They pulled me aside. They said, hey, we want to see you run a 40 and some drills. I did the 40. I did some drills. That day, they offered me a full scholarship. I went to Virginia Tech's camp. Same thing. They pulled me aside. They wanted me to see me run drills on a 40. I did it. They offered me a full scholarship. So I said, hey, I need to start going to more camps. And it was just, I really, you know, small school, rode the bench, not a lot of recognition, not a five-star school, you know, fighting that. And every time I was in front of the people who was making decisions, they said, this guy could play. So that kind of was my role.
So it sounds like, again, your hard work paid off. You got a scholarship to the University of Pittsburgh. And basically the story is not like, you know, broke every NCAA record and then off I go to the NFL. That was definitely not the case. You had adversity also in college as well, in the fact that you played the first year at the University of Pittsburgh. You told me about the story. And then basically you had to transfer after that. You had a good first year in Pitt, right?
Yes, sir. I had a solid first year at Pittsburgh, was enjoying it. You know, loved my teammates, loved the area, loved the fans, loved what we was doing. And you know, I had a situation with my family. My father has diabetes, and he had to get his leg amputated. And I was at a crucial decision as a 19-year-old with my family struggling, and I'm 6 hours away at the time. And I remember saying to myself that my family took care of me at that point for 19 years. It really was important for me to go back home, transfer somewhere close to home, help my mom out around the house for 3 years while I'm still in college in Cannes. And so I left a big school in Pittsburgh, transferred to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, which is 10 minutes from my house. I got hazed by media. I got hazed by some people saying, why would you give up your dream? You've come this far. And I just told him, you know, my faith in God is that, you know, you do the thing, you do the right things, and blessings that come back to you. And it hasn't been shortened since.
So you went to a smaller school, and then right from a Liberty, you said, I'm going to continue to play and know that I'm going to play at a high level. So your hard work and effort, did you break a lot of records at Liberty, playing in Liberty?
Yeah. I did. And, you know, they rapidly changed a lot of stuff at the same time that I came in. They got a new head coach. It was funny because the head coach, Lynchburg Christian Academy, is connected to Liberty University. It's right across the street. And I remember the head coach at Liberty at the time told me, He said, you'll never be good enough to play running back at the next level. So when I was looking to transfer, I remember that coach told me that. And so I didn't think about going to Liberty at the time when I was transferring from Pitt. But that coach had just got let go. They brought in Coach Rocco from UVA. It was a new coach, a new strength coach. They were building a new life. So it just was a perfect fit. And I was able to go there and break a lot of records and earn the trust of my teammates. And the rest is history.
And then from there, you got drafted. What round were you drafted in the NFL?
7th round, 2009, Jacksonville Jaguars.
And then always what happens, Rashad, is that a 7th round draft pick's not guaranteed to make the NFL either, right? You're one of the top picks. That's the only way you pretty much know you're going to at least be on the squad. You have to work hard just once you're drafted.
Right, exactly. You know, 7th round. It's for me, no matter where you get drafted at, I look at it as an opportunity. To go in and prove yourself. And you're right, you know, I wasn't a stellar pick. I was the second round pick. I had to fight and scrap. But if you look at my whole life, I'm used to that.
So that's the story so far. And then, Rashad, again, an injury kind of changed your career where you had some great stats last year thanks to, even though it was not for your teammates, to step in and have a great year with the Jaguars last year, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to come in, and it's never good battling with injuries. But you know, the first game of the season, you know, I suffered an injury and was battling back the whole entire time. That's tough, but you know, I did get an opportunity to showcase some of my talent, and you know, all that as far as that is all in the past for me. I'm super excited to be an Oakland Raider. And I'm excited what we have going on and the progress from OTAs and mini camp. And I'm excited to go to training camp, get ready for preseason and end the season.
Okay, so that was the story of Rashad Jennings, the first segment of the Total Education Celebrity Show powered by Beach Lifestyle Media. And when we get back, we're going to learn about why he decided to start his foundation. We see that hard work pays off, and that's one of Rashad's things, having great mentorship and ultimately looking to help others by giving up his scholarship at Pitt to go to Liberty, where he might have never made the NFL, but he chose God as his direction to go there. So when we get back, more of Rashad Jennings. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment, TotalTutor.net, WeAreTheChallenge.com, and BeachLifestyle.com. And we're talking to Rashad Jennings, Oakland Raider, about his career, and we learned so much about his hard work leading to where he is in the NFL now and as developing and budding into a great star in the NFL. But one thing he has talked about throughout is how he never gave up and how he likes to help others. So, Rashad, tell us the story about when you decided to start your foundation.
You know, I knew it was something that I always wanted to do. It's part of the reason why I worked so hard to play this game now. But I kind of think the tipping point was in the NFL, every Tuesday for the season is a day off. And my rookie year, I always, and even to now, since my rookie year, I always dedicate at least an hour or two on the community, whether it's reading books to kids at the library, motivational speaking at middle and high schools, going to different colleges, universities, wherever they may have me to go. And I would always share some stories, some shed of light, some inspiration. And every time I did that, you know, I have the student body excited. I have parents excited. You know, I have the teachers excited, the principals, wherever I was at. And then I would just disappear. And I remember telling the Jaguars organization at the time, I said, I feel I'm doing a disservice by going in the community, giving them inspiration, motivating, signing autographs, and disappearing from their life. I want to leave an impact, create programs that are continual, and build a niche. And so that's what kind of spurred me into starting my foundation, because I really wanted to stay involved and kids' lives, not just a release work. I wanted to build something.
And I think that's fantastic, Rashad, that you saw that through helping others, that you could do much more through your celebrity status. And to say, you know what, there's a lot of NFL players that are helping the community, but a lot of times they're using the organization. But when you create a foundation, then that's your stamp of approval. That's your expectations, so that what you want done for the community. So you decided to start the foundation. What is the process in going out and doing that? You say, this is pretty new to you, this foundation, correct?
Yes. This is new to me. The process, you know, you got to get your 501c3, clear through the government and IRS approval. It's a lot of steps that you have, but when I came out, I went with a firm, a law firm, instead of a sports agency. The reason why I did that is because I know myself. I was going to want to get into business and want to have a team of lawyers behind me to advise. So they've been hand in hand. Val Lone is helping me out with that, and my agent, Adisa Bafari. So that's been kind of an easy transition for me.
Very, very good. So tell us specifically about the foundation. What types of awareness are you trying to bring and raise money for? What areas are you looking to do?
The heart of the foundation, you know, I like C.S. Lewis, and the heart of the foundation, he always says, truly charity work, feeding the needy, giving to the poor, you know, building hospitals in third world countries, those type of charity works. But here, you know, like I said, if it wasn't for somebody coming into my life, not changing who I am, but kind of guiding my walk, my journey, being there, discipline. If I didn't have that, as you know in the story in the early segment, the points and GPA average, I wasn't headed to any kind of success.
Right.
So I wanted to build mentoring programs that really is geared towards particular cultures, and that's what we have been doing. And also, I noticed that every successful company, corporate America, anywhere across the globe, they're always striving to make their product or service convenient for their clients or consumers. And I think towards mentorship, you can do the same thing.
That's...
And the reason why I say that is because everybody I talk to on a professional level, whether it's my peers in NFL, NBA, hockey, whatever it is, actors, no matter what profession you talk to, they always say that they would do more charity work if they had time. So we're trying to figure out, and we've talked to Samsung, Vizio. We got a lot of people on board that's excited to get behind these programs, get things moving, convenient to mentor.
Well, absolutely, Rashad, and I think that's so important because, again, when you're looking at mentorship and you're looking to help others, when you have people that are leading them in the right direction to give them that opportunity, because a lot of times they don't think the opportunity is there, Rashad. Isn't that true?
I do. I truly do. A lot of people don't. And it's, you know, we all have to live with us. We are busy. But it's so amazing. And like you said earlier, it's nothing special about me. I'm just in a special position. I have a special platform. And it's my job as a platform to make sure that I do the most good for my community that I possibly can. And you know, I really want to stamp one idea more than anything. I want to stamp a piece of one excuse for people to do good. And, you know, that's what we've been striving to do.
Now, I'm sure that you're saying to yourself, you're looking at all the foundations of all the NFL players across the country. I've interviewed a lot of them. Ryan Clark, I've interviewed Will Allen and different people like that have foundations and have had success in them. And I've run out of names of all the different people. But however, I think what you're looking at is to make your mark as a foundation through progress, through helping the community, and also looking at the hours you spend with your team to be successful, correct? So this is going to be a lot of work to make sure this is a success. So you must have a really good team around you to make sure this foundation works, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I've never seen anything amount to success without a great team around you. teamwork makes the dream work, and I do have a great team, and they're super excited working around the clock to make sure this idea comes to pass.
And is this a new to you, the kind of be, because any foundation is a business in a lot of ways, because you got to raise funds, first of all, and then you make sure that the projects are implemented so you get more money to fund more projects. So are you learning hand in hand with the people you have around you how to be successful in a foundation? Have you had mentors help you in that process?
Yes. Again, you know, like I said earlier, coming out, I went with a law firm instead of a sports agency, and I've been able to network with a lot of different people. And I've seen successful foundations run, and I've seen ones run that weren't so successful. So I've been reading, doing my research, understanding the laws and the legalities of everything. So, and that comes, again, from having the right people around me to feed me the right information to make formative decisions. So, you know, I give hats off to my family members and my law firm that's helping me out with this.
Well, it sounds like you're doing the research and everything. So for this being the first year, what programs are going to be currently coming up in the summer and then in the fall? Can you tell us a little bit about some of the programs that you're going to be providing?
First, it's called Go For It Guide. It's Go For It Guide. That's the mentoring aspect of it. And, you know, that's more so for starting off ninth graders through high school. So it's all high school. And the base will build upon and going to the collegiate level as well. But I really want to catch kids as soon as they get into high school. I've looked back at a lot of NCAA rules. And this is I'm grabbing athletes specifically. Reading over the NCAA rules, I had a hard time getting through the clearinghouse, and the clearinghouse has completely, massively changed their rule books of how to clear. And when I talk to students, when I talk to kids, when I talk to parents, a lot of people are not aware what it takes to actually get from high school to college. It's a lot of stuff that has to happen. And one thing we're going to do is inform that, create an avenue that makes it conducive for accountability between my NFL players and these high schoolers, and also have the staff to back up. It will involve the parents. It will involve the school and the teachers. So basically, I'm just a peacemaker, if you will, to make sure that everything is running smoothly, because I know that the parents want success for the kids, teachers want success for the kids, kids want to be successful. And since I've been blessed to get to this level, I want to teach exactly the do's and the don'ts of what I've seen. And that works with every other player in a professional level.
So that's the red tape that you have to go through, Rashad, with the NCAA to make sure you're not breaking any violations. So that's good. You have a team of lawyers instead of an agent running a foundation, so you don't get the kids in trouble or the NCAA on you. So that's an important part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It completely is, man. And I advise that to a lot of people. You know, like I said before, we've looked over a lot of foundations that have started. We looked over a lot of businesses that's been successful starting and not. And just looking at the small print of what needs to be done, it's a lot of work for any business or foundation to get started. And I'm glad that I got a team around me and, you know, that understands my heart. I'm not a person who... you know, you're going to find drinking and smoking one weekend and then running a foundation the next weekend. I'm Rashad Jennings. I am all one person, and this is truly my heart. And I want to give back as much as I possibly can and continue to play football.
That's fantastic. And for when you're talking about feeding the poor, what programs are you going to be offering? Are they already in place to be feeding the needy?
Yeah, I've partnered with a couple different companies. One is the Haiti Outreach. And the Haiti Outreach really truly believes in not relief work. They really believe in building something substantial. And that's why I partnered with them. And what we're calling it is abandoned lands. What they do is they go over to Haiti and they build a staff in Haiti
and teach the staff how to teach their people. So it keeps the power inside of their land instead of looking to us to come save the day. So we're teaching them how to be leaders, and also we provide them clean water, resources, and, you know, because I've seen and been a part, and I think it's great to do for other countries, but I really want countries and villages to understand how to run their own and not depend upon us.
Are you helping the needy in the United States as well as Haiti?
Yes, of course, of course. But for here, caring for students, student athletes, that's my gift right now. That's really where my heart is. And then, you know, it's important for me to make sure to grab those who don't have a chance. And I truly believe that in other countries, if you really go there, if you really look at how they live, if you really look at how we live, the scale is completely different.
Absolutely.
And, you know what I'm saying? So other countries really, sometimes they don't even have a chance, and sometimes these kids don't have a chance. So those are the ones that I'm going after first.
Okay. Well, fantastic, Rashad. I think that that's a great mission that you're trying to do in both ends of helping mentor athletes and also helping with the poor in Haiti. So, Rashad, where can we find more information on you and learn more about you?
You know, you can just go to RashadDennis.com. You know, every Sunday last year, during the season, every Sunday, I write an article in the local newspaper in Lynchburg, Virginia. You know, they was excited. They want me to continue to doing that, so that's something I'm going to be doing. It's kind of like my blog. And I'm always posting information, so you could definitely go to RashadJennings.com and keep up with me, or you can go to my Twitter. It's at Rashad Jennings, or my Facebook, backslash Rashad Jennings.
Well, Rashad, stay on the line. I want to talk to you for one more second after we finish this interview. But we're going to have you back on to give us an update of what's going on in the foundation in about 6 months. And hopefully we're hearing great things from you with the Raiders. And even though I'm a Broncos fan, when I see you on the field against the Broncos, I'll be cheering for you and rooting for you, Rashad. So, and if you play the Steelers, the same thing. I don't think Pittsburgh fans are going to like that. Well, too bad. I have relationships with NFL players. I'll be cheering for them on Sunday. So thanks for calling, Rashad.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I really do.
All right, take care.